Good morning. It's Monday, 4th of January. Our middle reading today is Psalms 9 and 10. I'm going to read to you from Brother Dudley Fifield once again, the praises of Israel. I read. There is a sharp contrast between the two Psalms. The predominant theme throughout both seems to be an emphasis upon the sovereignty of God. Psalm 9, however, is concerned with the manner in which God has judged and will again judge the heathen nations. So verse 5 reads, "Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name for ever and ever." Whatever incipient fulfilment the words of verse 5 might have had, they are clearly prophetic of God's ultimate triumph over all human pride and arrogance. There is a clear allusion to Amalek, that great type of all the nations that oppose themselves to God and his people. "Thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven," as we read in Deuteronomy 25. The words of verse 6 have been rendered, "As for the enemy, they are extinct." In contrast to the eternal desolation that will overtake the wicked, Yahweh endures forever, and he has prepared his throne for judgment. Consequently, he will judge the world in righteousness. That last phrase occurs in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, where we read, "God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Even the thought of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus seems to find expression in the psalm. "When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them," verse 12. It points back to the divine principle declared to Noah in Genesis 9, but portends also the words of those who called upon themselves the blood of the Lord Jesus. "His blood be on us and on our children," they said, as we read in Matthew 27. But he who suffered of them that hated him could rejoice, because God had lifted him up from the gates of death, Psalm 9 verse 13, that he might yet show forth all his praise in the gates of Zion and rejoice in his salvation. It is because of these things which are faithful and true that the psalmist can even now rejoice in the fact that the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." To know his name encompasses an understanding of the whole will and purpose of God, and in the particular context of the psalm recalls the manner in which God has revealed himself in history for the salvation of his people. And herein is the assurance that he will fulfil all that he has promised. Perhaps the words of verse 17 regarding all the nations that forget God serve as a useful bridge between the two psalms. Literally, the word forget is "are forgetful," the tense of the verb implying a habit or rule of life. It suggests a willful neglect of God, a deliberate act of will to shut him out of one's life and experience. Turning now to Psalm 10, Brother Dudley writes, "It is a perplexing experience that is part of the spiritual training of all God's children, that sometimes he seems to have left them. They feel bereft of his help. They are conscious of a desolating sense of separation from him. But it is in the midst of such experiences that God looks for that resolute and steadfast spirit which will not let go those eternal things which he has committed to our trust. So, in these difficult and perhaps perplexing times, let us hold fast to the things that have been delivered to us and which we are privileged to know. The Lord will reign in Zion." Thank you for listening.